Television sanitized answer to the Beatles. I remember I was 13 at the time and totally sucked in.
But that was years ago. Now, Davy Jones is doing occasional television, Nikki Dolenz is in advertising, and Peter Took we could not locate. And Michael Nesmith has his own record company.
Michael Nesmith joins Rock Around the World for some recollections.
I was in the Troubadour crowd with Steve Stills and David Crosby and Roger McGuinn and Gene Clark and Linda Ronstadt and Neil Young, and that's we were all hanging out in that scene. We all saw that ad. And a friend of mine, he ended up ultimately becoming the Reverend Fraser Mohawk. And he said, "Did you see this ad in the Variety?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, you should go down there and try out for it." So I took my guitar and I went down. We got over to see the producers. And I didn't know much. I wasn't savvy to the ways of television. I didn't know how it really worked. I just said, "Hello, how are you?" And the next thing I know, they called me back for a screen test. I went back down, and it was for the screen test, and now there was like, I guess, 12 guys. The only person I knew around there was Steve Stills, who was down there for the screen test. David and Mickey and Peter were also there, but I knew Peter from hanging out at the Troubadour playing the banjo, but I'd only just run across him every once in a while. It never dawned on me that Mickey was Circus Boy, him and him. So we went through the screen test, and then about 2 weeks later, they called up and said, "Okay, you got the part." Rock and roll had really become, I mean, it was really an explosive stage at that point. And so everybody kept saying, "Can you guys really play? Could you guys really make some music?" I said, "Well, I don't know, why not, you know? Everybody in the band's a musician. We could probably grind out something." So we got together, and we got some instruments, and we started playing some songs and stuff like that. Really straight garage band type stuff. The next thing I knew, a bunch of people had gotten together, and they said, "Look, you guys don't have enough time to do the music. You're going to be filming 15 hours a day. You don't have enough time to just do the show. We'll make the music in the studio." "Uh-huh, okay, fine." And Last Train to Clarksville just went zooming up the charts. And then the show came out. And it took about 4 weeks, and the thing was absolute stone smash. And we started selling all kinds of records, and nobody could even believe it. My friends were musicians. And they would say to me, "Gee, that was really good. You know, I really like that last record you guys did." I said, "Wait a minute, you don't understand. There's no such actual band as the Monkees. There is no Monkees. There's no actual band like that, and there's no Marcus Welby. It's really Robert Young, fellas, and I'm really Michael Nesmith, and let's get it straight." The next album comes out, and I said, "Look, because this line of fantasy and reality is starting to break down, we probably are in real good shape if we go ahead and play as a band. Now let's do that, okay?" Well, the hue and cry that went up because of that suggestion from the political powers at Screen Gems was beyond belief. Play? I mean, come on, guys, you can't play. I mean, we're making the music for the thing. And, play, you might as well ask to write the show. I said, "Well, that's not a bad idea. But we can't actually write the show, but we can actually play, and why don't we'll do that?" So we went into the studio, and we recorded as a band a song called "The Girl That I Knew Somewhere," which is a song that I wrote. That was the first time the actual Monkees ever really made music. And I took it back to the producer, and I said, "Look, let's make this the next record, okay?" And he says, "Well, I'll go for it." And the word came down from New York, "Uh-uh. No, sir. We've established Don Kirshner as the musical head of the show. And Don Kirshner is going to say what goes out. And Don Kirshner didn't want that. So I said, it's either Don Kirshner or me. And what they did was they put that song on the B-side of the next single. And when it became known that we were actually playing, people called us up to come play. So we booked a tour. But what we did was we went to Hawaii first. We walked out on stage, and there was 19,000 people in the auditorium, and the place just exploded, just went nutsoid. And I looked at Peter, and Peter looked at Mickey, and Mickey looked at David, and David looked at me, and then we all looked back at the audience and didn't know whether to run or do what, so we started to play, and then that was when we found the first great kind of revelation of our rock and roll career, which was that we couldn't hear anything. We couldn't hear our music at all. We didn't know whether we were good or bad or not. It didn't make any difference. Thousands and thousands of people screaming, little pink arms waving in the air. I love you, come on, Bobby King. Jimi Hendrix met us on the tour in Raleigh, North Carolina. Before the concert, and I said, oh, I'll go see Hendrix play. Hendrix is up there. First time I ever saw a Marshall Stack, 7 feet tall. And he starts off with Purple Haze. And my mouth dropped to the floor. And I thought, are you nuts? I mean, are we going to follow this guy? Are you kidding? I mean, here was absolutely the most celestial musician I'd ever seen, ever walk on the planet. I was convinced that he was, you know, a complete space cadet. And he was playing music that was sweeter and higher and purer than any music. The guy was standing up there playing it, psychedelic music, which he had invented. He played with us for 12 dates. Finally, in Forest Hills, he couldn't stand anymore. We want the monkeys, we want the monkeys, which is what he got most of the time from the 12-year-old girls who had no concept of what was going on with him. And so he flipped everybody the bird and walked off stage. And he says, I can't do it anymore. And he got on a plane and went from there to Monterey Pop Festival.